Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, December 29th, 2016. We have a nice little six-game slate on Thursday. Sometimes Thursday, in previous years, it would only be the two TNT games. You know, maybe there'd be a third game. So this year, it's been different. Some slates we get four, five, even six games. So this is glorious. So for Thursday, this is about as good as we can hope for. It's actually a pretty interesting slate. So pretty pumped for it. Wednesday was good times. Hopefully you were sweating out the glory hunt with the judge. Late into the night. That's why I'm even starting the show later than normal, because I couldn't do start preparing for Thursday's slate until I knew where I was going to end up. Because I knew pretty early on that I was going to be in a couple contests in the hunt for glory, and that's what we strive. So in the $100 single entry, I think it was called the Dunk. I ended up finishing fourth. I was in second. Really late, and then Kevin Durant got like 25 blocks in the last minute of the game. That dropped me down one spot, and then Steph Curry getting a rebound, and then some garbage cheap free throws that dropped me down all the way to fourth. So in that contest, I ended up making, I think it was $750. I was in second place, which was $1,500. That would have been better, but still, I can't complain too much. I think overall, you know, made over a grand. So it was a good night. And it was a lot of fun sharing with you guys on Twitter. So hopefully you guys were able to follow along, or maybe you had your own glory hunts and you guys did well as well. Looking at Chambers, which was just crazy with the high scores. I know a lot of you guys had good nights too. I mean, I'll say this on slates that are, and this is, you know, if you do consultations with me, one of the big things that we go over is kind of making sure you're entering the right contests. And if you're entering these contests, you know, these large tournaments with 30, even 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 100,000 people, I think there's even some wacky tournaments. I mean, it's hard, man. I mean, people are, especially the pros, if they're not single entry tournaments, pros are just, you know, are basically using computers to spit out every possible combination that they can. So especially on a slate, like a 10 game slate, it's very hard for us to compete with those guys. So the judge is constantly, especially on larger slates, you know, I always will attack every single entry tournament because there I'm just competing. It's mano a mano, my lineup versus your lineup. And there, you know, I think I can compete with anyone. So I love the single entry tournaments, but also the, you know, just you know, search around on FanDuel a little bit. You don't have to always enter, you know, the tournament with thousands and thousands of people. If you click on like the, you know, if you just log into FanDuel and then in like the featured page, I would do a little digging around, because the smaller the tournament is going to be, the lower the cash line. And we're all searching for a low cash line so we can cash and make some money at this. So I actually, this was one of the first days all year. I didn't even enter a lineup in the Slam, and the Slam is one of the main tournaments, especially in years past that I play. This year, I don't play the Slam as much because it's really rigged against us. I mean, I still play it, but it's hard to compete against pros who are spitting in, you know, I forgot what the maximum amount of entries they can throw in that tournament, but let's say it's 100. So even if I put in 10, which is, you know, a few hundred dollars, it's like $250. If I play 10 entries of $25 a pop in the Slam, that's still, I'm at a great disadvantage. So, choose very carefully what contest you're entering, because that's half the battle, quite honestly. You know, it took me a long time to figure this out, but like, I don't just go to the featured page and start entering tournaments. I'm very selective of what I enter. And that's why, like, you know, I think I got a 348, but the Dunk, which is a single entry tournament, I think it had about 250 people in it or something. So, and that was good enough for fourth, which was a nice payday. And so I'm just you know, think about what you're entering and make sure you're entering the right concept. Not only throwing your money in the large GPPs with thousands and thousands of people. All right, I didn't mean to lecture you guys. It just frustrates me when I see people entering the wrong stuff, especially when I want them to make money. And I want all you guys to start winning some big money. All right, you guys know the deal, right? You guys have downloaded the app Draft, haven't you? I know you have, man. I know you've done it. At least I think you have. If you haven't, please download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD. You can also shoot me a challenge. I am the judge on there. It's easy money playing me in that because like, if you're challenging me, normally it's during the day when I'm doing work and I'm trying to hide from my bosses and drafting under tables and bathroom stalls. So, but it's a good time. It's just real easy snake draft. It takes like a minute or two to finish up. It's a lot of fun with that. So please do that. That helps support the podcast. Like I say in every show, the more you guys can help support the sponsors. Ultimately, it's going to be more shows for you guys. And if you like hearing me ramble and doing these daily shows and me sleepwalking throughout the course of the day, if you can do that, then that's just, I'd very much appreciate it. As well as rate and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast. Glorious if you do that. The judge, mad appreciation if you can do that. Also, if you do that and you want to shoot me like a DM note or just on Twitter, let me know. Maybe I'll give you a little VIP chambers access or something. I don't know, but it just means a lot if we can get in the rankings. We're out of the top 150 right now. We were in there. We're currently outside. We need to get back in there. The goal is to top down Roto Grinders, the Roto Grinders Daily Fix. We need to top that podcast. That would be our ultimate goal here. But if we can get back in the rankings, that helps with sponsors. And so. You can rate it, review. Only takes a couple minutes. Do it while you're listening to the podcast. Real easy, man. Let's talk chambers for Wednesday, Thursday. What day? I don't know what date it is anymore. Yeah, I guess it was Wednesday. I'm going to my show sheet. All right. Lastly, if the premium services by the judge, if you still want a consultation, it's hard for me to do time-wise. As you guys know, I'm strapped for time, but I'm still trying to do one a day. If you feel like you're not entering the right contest, something's flawed in your research plans, you're not doing as well as you think you should be doing, you want a 30-minute consultation with the judge, let me know. Tweet at me at DanielAgreen1, and we'll get you sorted out. Hopefully, get you start making some nice money, or at least improve your results. Or maybe you'll find out, you know what, you hate DFS. I don't know. all right, now let's get back to chambers on Wednesday. So. Rojacko, we had three chambers going. Rojacko took down one chambers, his first win of the year. His fourth cash, though, he put up a monster score of 357.9. I think I saw him in like the $25 single entry, and I think he took like second or third and won like $900 or something like that. So kudos to him. He had a really good night. I know he's a pretty serious DFS player, so congrats to him on his first chambers win. DRF fan, this guy has the weirdest username I've ever seen in my life. It's DRF fan, PhD, then 8,000 other letters. Man, I don't know what he was thinking with that username, but congrats to you. You won Chambers, your first win of the year, even though I hope you would change your FanDuel name. Although I guess once you use your FanDuel name, you can't really change it. You're stuck with it, right? But your first win, your fourth cash of the year, a score of 349. Congrats to you. King_poise. Second win of the year and his sixth cash. So he's knocking on the door of the power rankings of the chambers with a score of 338. So all really high scores. I mean, man, like as I was, going over, even as I was watching the games, I was noticing it. I mean, it seemed like everyone had a good night. There was like no one had a bad night. Everyone played well. It was super annoying, quite honestly, to watch, I mean, except for Carmelo and Bradley Beal for getting ejected and getting injured. But almost everyone else, for the most part, played pretty well. So that's why you knew it was going to be a really high-scoring night. And that's why, for me, actually, my soul crusher was actually Kevin Durant, who those blocks then cost me $750 and dropped me from second to fourth. So sometimes your dream killer or your soul crusher, it can be someone that you didn't roster. It can just be someone that who happened to just explode who you didn't play. I mean, that can happen too. But actual dream killers – Carmelo and Brio, like I mentioned, Melo got ejected for that. I didn't even see the play. I think he threw a punch at Cephalosha. And it was funny, I had Beal and Melo in one of my Chambers lineups, these two busters. And Beal, go figure, he gets hurt again by playing 40 minutes a night. So, yeah, I mean, the sad thing was both of them were off to great starts. Melo had like a 16 Fanduel point first quarter. Beal had like 20 Fanduel points in the first half. And Beal got hurt. He went to the locker room, came back in the game, so I thought he was fine. And then he didn't come back out to start the third quarter. It was really frustrating because I did like his matchup a lot, and he was off to such a good start. It was such a nice pivot from CJ McCollum. And actually, I put CJ McCollum as a dream killer. I know he put up like 30 Vandal points about, but he did not play well at all. He didn't shoot the ball well. He looked a little lazy and lethargic out there. It was a weird game. I mean, the pace of that Portland-Sacramento game, and I had Crab, CJ, and Evan Turner. So I watched that entire thing, and I'm just sweating on it because, man, I needed those guys to put up decent numbers. They all got me through it, but the pace was so slow. And McCollum, I mean, just shot horribly. I didn't think he handled the ball well. He did not play that well. He was fortunate to give us 30-whatever Fanduel points. Jamal Crawford, second Chris Paul came back, I faded Crawford. I think I had him in one of my 20 lineups or so. He had like a 10 Fanduel point night. Alfred Payton, if you played the elf after Christmas, you should have known better. He went back to being the guy that I remember vividly earlier in the year, but that's like a 10 Fanduel point night. Our Ronnie Hollis Jefferson was like game time decision, questionable. Then he played. If you played him, you kind of wish you didn't. Anthony Davis was probably the only true dream killer that I can think of. You know, a star who just really underperformed. I think he had like in the 30s for Fanduel points in a nice matchup against, you know, the Blakeless Clippers. That was just another odd game. So he just had an off night. Fat Raymond Felton, the second Chris Paul came back, you knew he was doomed because Austin Rivers got the start at shooting guard. Felton did not get a ton of minutes. Aaron Gordon for Orlando, another guy from Orlando. Even with Fournier out, I mean, Ibaka was the one Orlando guy, and Vucevic who did well, I think. Aaron Gordon did not. And I put Kemba as a dream killer just because Kemba, he got to 30 again. But again, not as good as Nick Batum. It's Nick Batum's team. Dream lovers, man. They were everywhere. John Wall. I mean, how safe and sexy is John Wall? I mean, it's so comforting to be playing John Wall these days. As I tweeted out earlier, he may be the most consistent player in DFS right now because Westbrook is just so expensive, even though his price did drop for Thursday, which is good. But Wall, I mean, had over 60 Fanduel points. Against, I think it was against Indiana. Just beautiful. I had him everywhere, so that was fantastic. Kyle Lowry, man, he is really good. He was in. I had a lot of lineups with Wall and Lowry because I was like, you know what? I think they're going to give me 100 Fanduel points. They got me 110. That duo, Wall 60 and Lowry 50. I mean, Lowry in that Golden State Toronto game, Lowry had one assist in the first quarter, 1.5 Fanduel points. That's it. So he basically got 50 Fanduel points in the last three quarters. Like, it's kind of frustrating because DeMar DeRozan's usage rate is about 8 percentage points higher than Lowry, and I think that's a mistake. Lowry needs to get the ball more. I mean, DeMar takes such horrible shots, you know, especially down the stretch when the game was close. I mean, Lowry was just killing that team in the fourth quarter. He really had it going, and then they went to they let DeMar like, dribble the ball up the court. DeMar had a really good game too. He had 50 Fanduel points as well. I mean, he's an excellent player, but I think they need to give Lowry some more love and some more touches and some more usage. But DeMar, he was a dream lover too. He had put up over 50. Ricky Rubio, I mean, if you played him, he had over 40. I mean, you can attack the Denver point guards, and sure enough, with Rubio, I mean, Matt, wow, Denver was begging Rubio to shoot. It was funny watching that game. I mean, they were praying that he would shoot. I mean, the issue was on this night, Rubio actually hit some shots. And that's what I think I said on the previous podcast. You know, similar to the Josh Richardson syndrome. Finally, you hit a couple shots, then you go from like a 20 Fanduel point night to a 40 Fanduel point night. Nick Batum was excellent again. Wilson Chandler did have a nice bounce back. He coming off that 6 Fanduel point night, he had over 30. Paul George, PG-13, he decided not to stand in a corner all night. He gave like a 45 Fanduel points, which for him this year is like a minor miracle. Every center playing in the NBA did well. This was the most, I object to this. this was the most annoying thing I've seen this year. I was so proud of myself because I played the second Chris Paul decided he was going to play. I went DeAndre Jordan in, I think, almost every lineup as a core player. I played mostly tournaments. I had DeAndre Jordan everywhere because I figured, you know, back, with Chris Paul back, he's going to get an additional 8, 10 FanDuel points off of lobs and easy dunks. And he was great. Gave me 44 FanDuel points, gobbled up like 25 rebounds. But every other center went nuts too. Dwight Howard had close to 50 FanDuel points. Karl Anthony Towns had a triple-double. Joakim Noah had over 40 FanDuel points. Cousins really struggled but still managed 50 FanDuel points. Pau Gasol had over 30 FanDuel points. Gortat had almost 40 FanDuel points. I mean, what center didn't play well? I mean, Robin Lopez, I mean, I guess would be – I mean, he still had like over 22 and hit value, I think. It was amazing. Every center. I think Brook Lopez also had a really good game. Might even list. Yeah, it was amazing. How can everyone play well? The hardest decision for me at power forward was Jokic or LaMarcus Aldridge. And when Kawhi went out, I went almost all in on LaMarcus Aldridge. They basically ended up with identical scores, like 42 FanDuel points. They both played great. It's just, how annoying is that when everyone's playing great? Sucks. We want dream killers. Jabari Parker had an awesome game. Tobias Harris had a great game. Kilpatrick had a great game. Jimmy Butler had a great game for the Bulls, who got lucky and barely beat Brooklyn. Like Wade went. Oh, I guess Wade could be a dream killer because Wade also went out with a migraine issue. So that was way more usage for Butler. Butler ended up with, I think, 50 or maybe even 60 FanDuel points and hit the game winning basket against Brooklyn. So I mean, it was a really fun night. Hopefully you guys watched the games and enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys had a lot of those dream lovers in your lineups. But man, I mean, high scores. Cause I mean, look at all the players. I mean, normally the list of dream killers is much higher than the list of dream lovers. Not tonight. Weird night, man. But fun night. Glorious for the judge. God, there's no better feeling than when you have players going in that late game. And you're making a charge up that leaderboard to glory. Man, the start of the fourth quarter, Kyle Lowry. Like I was in like 20th place in the $100 dunk. And Lowry, he got a rebound, assist, three pointer, layup in like the first minute and a half, and suddenly I'm in 9th place. And it was on from there. It was just beautiful. I got to bring out the stool. Any night you bring out the judge's stool, it makes the bailiff happy. And now we go to Petco tomorrow, and the bailiff gets all the toys he wants. All right, let's go on to Thursday slate. So, like I mentioned, this is a fun slate. I'm looking forward to it. 6 games. We got all the over-unders. Oh, man. I didn't even read the injury news. And I just closed the show sheet. I was so excited to get to the slate. Whatever. You guys are going to have to check the news yourself. I don't think there was anything that was massive on the injury front. All right. Just because I love you guys, I'll open it back up. And all right, injuries. Let's do it quickly. So Deion Waiters is still out. Dragic is still dealing with the back spasms. He said he dressed and sat on the bench the last game. If he's out, you guys know I'm going to roll with my boy Josh Richardson again. And Tyler Johnson's going to be a really good play as well. Mike Conley's dealing with that toe issue, so he's still questionable for Memphis. That's going to be a really big decision because Memphis plays, I wish we'd do a drum roll, OKC. So if there's no Conley, man, then I really, 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 really can't say enough really love Westbrook. If Conley plays, I don't love Westbrook as much. So he, a possible fade scenario on OKC in this really slow down game against Memphis. So that's an important one to keep our eyes on. Those are the big ones. Joel Embiid is out. Is that right? For Philly's on a back to back. That sucks. If Embiid's not playing. Philly didn't play on Wednesday, did they? So I mean, Basketball Monster I'm on right now, so they're never wrong. So it looks like Embiid's going to be out. So maybe some Ersan Ilyasova finally for us. That would be fantastic. And then Bogut's out for Dallas, or he's doubtful. So, you know, Dwight Powell, the disaster that is Dwight Powell, maybe for some tournaments. All right, now we shall roll into the over-unders. Toronto at Phoenix. Both of these teams are coming on back-to-backs. Toronto's favored by 8.5. 220.5 over-under. Phoenix actually gave San Antonio, without Leonard, a decent game on on Wednesday. So, and Toronto played hard against Golden State. So I'm a little nervous. Both teams on back to backs. Both starters kind of play heavy minutes. It is the highest over under of the night. Six games late. We're going to attack it, but just, you know, keep in mind that it is a back to back. Boston at Cleveland, 215. This is going to be wild. Talk about a really fun game to watch and a nice game to attack. Yeah, I mean, that's especially LeBron and all those guys are coming off of some rest now. And Boston plays everyone tough. So that's going to be a fun game. You got Dallas, the Lakers, 204 over-under. And then you got three games that are nasty over-unders. Miami, Charlotte, 199. OKC, Memphis, 198. And Phillies, Utah. Utah is favored by 13 here against Philly. So there's only one potential blowout, and that's this Utah game. 196 over-under. Now, a six-game slate, we can't really just chop off a game and ignore one. But if there's one to ignore, it's that Philly-Utah game for sure. All right, teams playing up in pace. You know the Judge loves pace. I love pace more than anything. Man, that's why that Portland-Sacramento game was so frustrating to watch. And also, Evan Turner, man, did he make me sweat to get to 23, 24 Fando points. But he's really good, guys. Like, man, he should have been handling the ball way more. And why in the hell they were going to Myers Leonard, who's supposed to be like DeMarcus Cousins, the DeMarcus Cousins whisperer. I mean, watching Myers Leonard take like 7 3-pointers or whatever he took was just disgusting. Like, man, what a waste. And I don't know why Evan Turner also wasn't more aggressive. He could get whatever shot he wanted against that Sacramento team. And he is their best facilitator without Dame Lillard. God, watching Shabazz Napier just out there was so frustrating. All right, pace. Toronto, Phoenix. So Toronto's playing way up in pace. They average about 97 points per 100 possessions. And they're playing about 5-6 points up in pace. That's more than double or almost triple any other team on Thursday's slate. So that's Toronto's in they were in an ideal spot playing up in pace against Golden State. Now they get it again against Phoenix. Dallas playing way up, not way up, but Dallas is playing significantly up in pace against the Lakers. And then Memphis is playing significantly up in pace against OKC. So those are really the three teams to target based on pace. Defense versus position, not too much stands out here. I mean, you know, the Lakers looked good defensively against Utah. I don't know how much was just Utah played like crap and how much Rodney Hood just decided to ruin my life that night versus the Lakers actually are getting better defensively. But I'm just going to pretend that that game didn't matter or that game didn't happen. And the Lakers are still horrendous at every position. OKC, you attack them. You attack Westbrook. So if Conley plays, he's going to be a really nice tournament play for me. And if he's out, Harrison, even though he doesn't have much of an offensive game, he did give us 30 a couple nights ago. So Harrison, and he played 44 minutes. So Harrison's going to be in another good spot if Conley's out. At the shooting guard spot, nothing. I mean, the thing is, like, Phoenix is basically a poor man's Lakers. So you can attack the Lakers at every spot, and you can attack Phoenix at every spot too. Let's see. Does anything else stand out for me? Not really. Charlotte's playing. You can attack Charlotte at the small forward position and the center position. So in theory, Winslow and Whiteside are going to be really nice plays. I have not been playing Whiteside a lot. Thursday may be a night to troll out Hassan Whiteside. And that's about it that stands out for me. All right, let's get to the top plays at each position. So point guard, so this is it. So it's always the first night of the question whenever Westbrook is playing, and that's do we roster Westbrook in cash? Oh, man. So the price was 13K. Now it's down to 12.5K. So Fando did a good job lowering it. I don't know if they did it just because they know it's Memphis. Slower pace. The 13K would have been really tough to play him. 12.5K, to me, it might come down to, as I mentioned, if Conley's out, I probably do roll Westbrook out in cash. If Conley plays, you know, Memphis does give up. I think it's the third fewest Fando points to point guards. So then maybe I go a different way. Maybe I just prefer to go with Lowry and Isaiah in my cash games and have that extra $4,000. So Westbrook, yeah, man, I have not faded him in cash I don't think all year. So, but man, I'm debating it. he's still, for tournaments, obviously an elite, elite play. He's always an elite play. But not an ideal spot for him here against Memphis. I mean, I'm like watching – I watched the last OKC game was against Miami. I thought it was one of Westbrook's best games of the year, just how the way he controlled the game, the way he was just getting everyone else involved, the rebounds. Everything was phenomenal. And then you look at his FanDuel points, and he got you 59. So that's why it's hard, man. He's got to play just superhuman to be hitting an exceeding value at that price. Kyle Lowry, 8.7K. He was in a phenomenal spot versus Golden State to destroy Steph Curry, which he did phenomenally, 52 FanDuel points. And he's in another just terrific spot here against Phoenix, who give up like the eighth or ninth most FanDuel points to point guards and play at the fastest pace in the league, or second fastest. So, I mean, I love him again. If it is a back-to-back, but I think he's fine for all formats. I wish the usage was higher. The funny part is, or I don't know if it's funny, but the interesting thing is, if you look at the usage rates for every starting point guard, there's only two on the slate that have lower usage rates than Kyle Lowry, which is crazy. That's insane. And those two are Sergio Rodriguez, thank God, and Shelvin Mack. I mean, look at everyone else: Darren Williams, Conley, Dragic, Bledsoe, Russell, Walker, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, and Isaiah Thomas. They all have higher than Kyle Lowry. But he's still, so he's getting expensive, 8.7K. But against Phoenix, he's safe for all formats. Isaiah Thomas, speaking of guys, high usage rate, 35%. It keeps like getting higher. Versus Memphis was the last game for him. He put up 30 against them. And that's, well, Conley wasn't playing. So I think he let us down actually that night. So I'm just drinking my smoothie. I'm back to getting my smoothie, so I feel very, very refreshed after a draining night. So Isaiah's fine. I think he's fine. Here he's fine for all formats. I'm telling you, I really might go, and you can attack Kyrie Irving on the defensive end. So I like everything about Isaiah's spot here. I love his usage. I love the pace of this game. I love the Kyrie Irving defense. So I think he's safe for all formats. Bledsoe, tournament only play for me. Always, I'll never use this guy in cash. And you saw why against San Antonio, a team that on Wednesday, a team you can attack. I guess I should have listed him as a dream killer. I just didn't play him. But yeah, on Wednesday, he against San Antonio, who you can attack at the guard position, he only put up 19 FanDuel points. And he only got 27 minutes. That's the other thing with Phoenix that's frustrating, is that if their second unit is playing well, Earl Watson will just keep those guys in. He's similar to Mike Malone in that way. If the second unit gets it going for Denver, he'll just ride all. He'll ride the entire second unit. So, Bledsoe can never be a cash game guy for me, especially at that price, at that salary, 8K, where I need 40 FanDuel points. Not an ideal spot. Kyle Lowry is also a solid defender, so I don't love this play. But on a 6-game slate, if I have 10 lineups, I probably use him in one, maybe two at most. Kemba Walker, 7.6K. So, he got his 31 FanDuel points. Maybe this is the new Kemba Walker. I mean, now he's on the Charlotte Batums, and maybe it's just going to be Batum all day, all night. I will say Charlotte did blow Orlando out. So he only got 25 minutes, and I think he was off to a really good start. So I'm probably being a little harsh on Kemba on this night, because maybe he would have gotten the 40, 45. He would have got his full allotment of minutes. So against Miami does defend both guard positions really well. I mean, they give up the third fewest points to opposing point guards. Some of that is they do have some good Dragic. I don't think Dragic is that great of a defender, but like Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson both are, and they played a really slow pace. So not an ideal spot for Kemba here. Although I think I'd prefer Thomas and Lowry in cash, but for tournaments, absolutely. He's a guy, if I have 10 lineups, I'm using him in at least three of them, probably. Let's see. Darren Williams, 6.4K. So he gets the juiciest matchup of the night next to Lowry, and that's he's getting Lakers defense. Now, has Dallas played the Lakers yet this year? And if they have, did Darren Williams play? I don't think they've played the Lakers yet this year. D-Will has been really solid. I don't like playing him on back-to-backs. Dallas did not play on Wednesday, so they did have a day of rest. He's also coming off a bad game against Houston, where he only put up 17 FanDuel points. But before that, guys, he's been really good. 40, 30, 33, 35, 26, 32. And I mean, the usage rate is fine. It's like 28%. He has the ball in his hands a lot. They let him do tons of pick and rolls with Harrison Barnes. So against the Lakers defense, I mean, Shelvin Mack did not take advantage of it a couple nights ago. I wish I wish his price was around 6K or 5.8K. But on a small slate like this, I'll take the chance in tournaments. Quite honestly, you could roll him out in cash games if you want to save a little money against the Lakers. I mean, he's got to be able to get a floor of like 25, and I think the ceiling could be maybe 40 or so. And that should get, that game should also stay close, which is good. Tyler Johnson, 5.6K. If Dragic is out, I may use him in cash games, and I would absolutely have him him in tournaments. He played really bad against Oklahoma City, and he's in the last game for Miami, and he still got 24 FanDuel points. He got 15 actual points, only 2 rebounds, only 2 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. Like it was weird. First of all, because Spoelstra, he started he basically didn't even start. He started Josh Richardson at point guard, and which was fine. But then like Justice Winslow ended up handling the ball a ton and was initiating the ball a lot. I mean, they had Josh Richardson running off screens like he's Steph Curry. It was a bizarre game for large stretches. I mean, I thought for sure Tyler Johnson, when he came in, he'd be more actively involved in the offense. And for whatever reason, he just wasn't. It was a weird game because normally, even when Dragic does play, Tyler Johnson has the ball in his hands a ton and is the one initiating offense while Dragic hides in a corner for large stretches. So, I mean, that's why I thought the 24 FanDuel points, that was impressive. I called him a dream killer that night because I thought he was going to get 40 against Westbrook. But if he's going to have a bad game, I think that's his floor, his 24 FanDuel points, if there's no Dragic. I think the ceiling could be like 45. So it is a slow-paced game against Charlotte, so that part I don't like. But I think he's fine for all formats. And I think the floor, he's super safe. Especially if Dragic is out, he's safe for all formats. If Dragic is in, tournaments only. D'Angelo Russell, 5.5K. His price is creeping down, which is pretty tasty to me because remember, guys, I don't know why I keep saying remember, guys, but I do want you to remember the guy's usage rate's over 30%. So that's something – anyone with a 30% usage rate is someone that's going to make my player sheet. Like that's that's making like the initial cut of guys that I'm going to consider for that slate. And – he's not been good. I mean, I think that's why the price has come down. The last game, he only had 10 FanDuel points, but that's against Utah, so I don't really count that. He did have a horrendous airball three-pointer that could have, I think, either won the game or tied it for the Lakers at the end. But I'm not going to use him in cash games, but for tournaments, getting some Deron Williams defense, that's a really nice price. He does have 40 FanDuel point upside. He's just, I think if he gets hot, Luke Walton will keep him in and give him 32 minutes. The minutes have been an issue, but I think he's a fine tournament play. He'll be overlooked, underowned, and on a 6-game slate in tournaments, that's what I'm trying to find. Sergio Rodriguez, 5K. I mean, I don't want to play this guy against Utah. Where did this come from? I'm looking at his game logs. The last two, he had 33 and 31. I mean, I'm pretty sure I played him the 3 games before that. When he had 18, 19, and 15. And made me spit at my TV. This unbelievable. He's back in play for us? Ugh, that's so frustrating. I mean, look, I can't argue with someone giving me six times value on a 6-game slate. So while I still do not love this play, I will not have a lot of Sergio Rodriguez against Utah. If you want to do it because he's cheap, you can do it. I'm still probably going to fade for the most part. But that does give me pause. 6 times value. That's delicious. Where are we? So under 5K, you have Marcus Smart. He had a really nice night against Memphis. 31. The last two games, he had 31-29. And 3 out of the last 4, he's had over 27 FanDuel points. So even though he's not starting, he still gets in the mid-20s in minutes. So on a 6-game slate, he's someone you can consider as well. I think another sneaky move here, you got the judge's favorite move. I need to come up with a name for this move. I did some type of hashtag on Twitter a couple days ago. I forgot what it was. It was like the judge's hammer or I forgot what I called it. I don't like the judge's hammer. But, you know, when you play two teammates on the same team at the same position, so you could do an Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart lineup. Because remember, we're trying to find ways to differentiate lineups on a six on a small slate. So I don't love doing an Isaiah Marcus Smart lineup, but for tournaments, it just may work, man. Both those guys could give you, Isaiah could give you 50 and Smart could give you 30, and it opens up value for the rest of your lineup. So it's an interesting move. It's a way to differentiate your lineup. I mean, not many people are going to roll out, you know, that combo. Jordan Clarkson, 4.6K. I think I mentioned him being somewhat of a sneaky ninja last show, and then because he's just so cheap now against Utah, and then he put up 24 Fando points. He's a 6K player in terms of talent. So, I mean, it's look, I've been out shopping the last couple of days. There's still lots of sales going on. Why not on a small slate like this? Let's do a little bargain shopping again. Let's all play Jordan Clarkson in one GPP. I don't care if it's a dollar GPP. He only needs like 24 minutes to hit value at that salary. So do I want to do it for cash? Maybe not, but for tournaments, I'll play him a little bit. And then other than that, the other two guys, you got Shelvin Mack, who really disappointed us against the Lakers, but he's still starting, it looks like, because Exum and Hiller are both out, and I think he's in a nice bounce-back spot against Philly, and I think he's fine for all formats again. And if you want to – if Conley's out, Andrew Harrison at 3.9K is in an elite situation of playing way up in pace against a Westbrook who just doesn't want to waste any energy on the defensive end. Shooting guard. DeMar DeRozan's 8.4K, so he was excellent on Wednesday. 39 minutes, which we expect, 52 Fando points. He did cost me money because he took Kyle Lowry's some of his lit shots late down the stretch, which I will not get over for, yeah, I don't know, maybe weeks, months, hopefully days. Maybe I'll get over it. If I can win again a big tomorrow, then I won't be too mad. But another elite spot for DeMar DeRozan. It's just, what is Phoenix's defensive versus position? I'm pretty sure it's through the roof. Yeah, they give up like the sixth, seventh most to shooting guards. Devin Booker defense. So, yeah, if you can, I think he's safe for all formats. And you definitely should have the money. There's no Harden on this slate. So for shooting guard, you probably do have the money. Unless you pay up, you use Westbrook, then you might not have the money in cash. But otherwise, he's safe for cash games. Nicholas Batum, 7.6K. So the Charlotte Batums, he did it again. In only 30 minutes, he had 42 Fando points. I mean, the dude's he's like a poor man's Russell Westbrook these days. It's like a walking, almost triple-double. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists on Wednesday. Man, in a slow-paced game against Orlando. So I will not be arguing ever playing against Nicholas Batum right now. I mean, Miami does defend that spot really well. I mean, they give up, where is it, the seventh fewest points to shooting guard. He's going to get Josh Richardson defense, I would imagine, for the most part, which is pretty solid. But I can't argue with it in any format right now. He's just playing too well. He's so locked in, and they're running their entire offense through him as Kemba stands in a corner for large stretches of the game. And then that will continue. I mean, why change it? I mean, and Charlotte's playing well as well. So, yeah, he's a really good play. Avery Bradley, 6.7K. So he had like one good game of 42 points against Memphis, 42 Fando points, and the price has come up. I you can normally attack Cleveland at the shooting guard position, but that's when J.R. Smith is playing. Now that he's out, I mean, I think Liggins and Shumpert are both decent defenders. I mean, Bradley's fine. I think he's gonna stumble, bumble, and crumble and grind his way to 25 Fando points. I'm gonna try. Like, I don't want to play him that much on this. On this slate, I think I want to go value at shooting guard. And maybe play DeMar or Batum with a value guy. I don't know. If I have 10 liners, maybe I play Bradley in two. He is relatively safe, though. I think he's a little too expensive, though. Devin Booker, 6.1K versus Toronto. So Toronto gives up the fewest Fando points to opposing shooting guards. He's risky. I would not play him in cash. Another guy, you know, we thought we could attack San Antonio with Bledsoe and Booker on Wednesday, and he was a dream killer because he only put up 19 Fando points. Tournament play always because he could explode for 30 actual points, but not the best spot in the world here. But on a small slate, tournament, sure. Lou Williams, 5.7K. It's just going to be a fade for me. God, looking at his game logs, it's such – he's a consistency – I can't say monster because he's very little. He's a short little man. Also, someone tweeted me that Lou Williams has two girlfriends. I think that's mistaken. I think he used to have two girlfriends. And I actually think it was more like twisted than that. I think just his girlfriend had a girlfriend as well. I don't know if he had two girlfriends, although maybe he did. But I digress. The game logs are actually they're better than I expected. Against Utah, he was good, 26 Fando points. The amazing thing about him is not only is his usage rate phenomenal, he gets to the free throw line better than almost anyone in the league, better than almost any bench player for sure. Harden might be the only other guy who gets, foul calls easier. And some of them are ridiculous because he's jumping into defenders all the time. It's like a hopping little bunny rabbit, but he gets every call. 5.7K, it's fine. I just prefer to look somewhere else for the most part. Also, he's going to get some Wesley Matthews defense. I'm not a huge fan of that play. 5.5K, Wesley Matthews. I prefer, especially in cash games, I'd prefer Wes over Lou Williams. Although their game logs, quite honestly, Lou's game logs seem to be a little bit better. They're pretty close, though. I think Wes maybe a little more upside because he's going to get more minutes. So Wes Matthews against the Lakers at only 5.5K. I think he may be a cash game guy for me. So I like Wes Matthews all formats on Thursday. Brandon Knight, 4.7K. The last two games, he's been 24 and 28 Fando points. I mean, I told you, he's getting 24 minutes, and he could get potentially more than that if he's playing well. Earl Watson will play the bench guys. Now, Lou Williams has the best usage rate for any bench player. It's at 30, almost 31%. Brandon Knight's, and then it's Zebo at 29, and then it's Brandon Knight is the third highest at 27, and then Enes Kanter at 25. Although Enes Kanter is rising rapidly. So, Knight's fine. On a small slate like this, why not? Phoenix is going to need some scoring to stay in the game with Toronto. I don't mind it. Not elite, but it's a good play. Tony Allen, 4.6K. I continue to fade him, and he occasionally makes me look stupid against Boston, 35 Fando points. I think if Conley is out, I'll play Tony Allen, some more Tony Allen. Again, when Conley is playing, that seems to impact Tony Allen. I'm not sure if it impacts the usage, but it is overall production absolutely takes a hit when Conley plays. So the Conley news will probably dictate how much Tony Allen I'll be playing. Other than that, you got under 5K guys. You got Nick Young, always a tournament guy. My boy Josh Richardson, 4.4K. If Dragic is out, I will absolutely jump back on that train again. 35 Fando points last game and 37 minutes, which was the key. Hopefully he got some confidence and we'll start making some shots on a consistent basis. Rodney Hood, 4.3K. We all have to play Rodney Hood one in one lineup. Dear God, the last two games, the last game into Lakers, that was something special. Four FanDuel points. I don't even know how he got four. That's a miracle. But the game before that against Toronto, he only got 13 minutes and gave you 2.5 FanDuel points. The game before that against Golden State, 11 minutes and 3.9 FanDuel points. So if you combine his last three games, it's barely 10. So I'm not sure what the heck is wrong with him. I'm gonna do a little bit of reading and figure out, read some Utah articles or the beat writers and figure out if he not healthy. Is it just confidence? He's a 5.5K at least in terms of like talent. He was really good last year and at the start of this year. So that's way too cheap for him if he's healthy. Something obviously is not right. So I'm not going to get crazy, but I'm going to play Hood in at least I'll play Hood in probably one lineup. I need to get the bad taste out of my mouth. Wilson Chandler gave me like 6 Fando points a couple nights ago, and then I played him tonight and he gave me 30. So I told you about Frank Kaminsky. Gave me like a 4 and then gave me 34 the next day. Or actually, I didn't play him, but he gave someone else a 34. So, and remember, a small slate, we want to be on a player a day early, not a day late. So this is another good, and against Philly, it is a good spot to jump on Rodney Hood again. Don't get crazy with it because maybe he's, you know, going to be in the insane asylum or something soon. Iman Shumpert, I mentioned him. All right, small forward. LeBron James, 10.3K. Just lock and load in your cash games. Just put him in and elite tournament play as well. Gordon Hayward, 7.8K. He was probably the only guy for Utah besides Ingles who played really well against the Lakers at 48 Vandal points. Another good spot here against Philly. Even though Covington, his defensive versus position is not that great, but I thought Covington was a better defender. Maybe he just gets steals. But especially without George Hill and Favors not getting legit minutes, and they play Gobert, who doesn't do anything offensively. So Hayward, I mean, he's in charge of a ton of that offense, a lot of responsibility. Another really good spot for him. He's safe for all formats. Harrison Barnes, he's getting the Lakers, so we got to attack the Lakers. It's another way to attack the Lakers. I have no issues stacking this game. I have no issues if you want to go a lot of Wes Matthews, a lot of Harrison Barnes. Quite honestly, if you want to go Darren Williams, Wes Matthews, and Harrison Barnes, play all three of those guys. All three of those guys should hit value. Now, I prefer probably only to play two out of the three because the odds that all three go off are probably pretty slim. But two out of the three, absolutely. Jay Crowder, 5.3K. Yeah, I mean, he was my go-to cash game guy for me. And it's just, maybe I'm just kind of trembling in my chair because watching him play, it's such a grind. But he gets there. He's going to get you 25, and he's got to guard LeBron, so he's got to play a ton of minutes. I guess foul trouble is a small concern, but he should be in there for 35 minutes, and he should somehow stumble into 25, 30 Fanduel points. Robert Covington, 5.2K. I've been playing Covington almost every night because he's locked into 35-plus minutes. The last night against Sacramento, that was the first game he let me down, only gave me 19 Fanduel points. Now he's got Utah. I don't like to play anyone against Utah. So he's not going to be a cash game play for me. But tournaments, I will still do it in tournaments. You can attack Utah on the perimeter, and they're still banged up. So, I mean, why can't Covington attack Joe Ingles? I mean, it could happen. So tournaments only. Luol Deng, man, he's been so good. Every game, if you want to just lock and load him into cash, I'm fine with it. Against Utah, you get 26 Fanduel points. So against any normal team, that's like 45. But the game logs are just 38, 28, 26, 26, 30, 21, 28, 30. At his 5.1K price, it's fair. He's also playing the most minutes out of any Laker right now. He's playing in the mid 30s in minutes. He's playing really good on both ends of the court. So yeah, I'm fine. You know, he doesn't have tremendous upside, so I would probably lean a different way for GPPs. But on a slate like this, sometimes you just want overall points. And there is something for saying, if Luol Deng gives me 30 Fanduel points, he could be in the winning lineup in a lot of GPPs. TJ Warren, 5.1K for Phoenix. He did come through on Wednesday night, I think off the bench. I didn't think he'd know if he started. But he had 34 Fanduel points, got 34 minutes. Those are all good signs. The last three games, he's been in the 30s in minutes. The price is fair. Remember, he was about over 6K earlier in the year. Damari Carroll is going to be out, so I'm not even sure who's going to be guarding him. But he's a nice tournament play here. He'll be overlooked, underowned, and that's what we want in a tournament. Justice Winslow, 5.1K. If Dragic is out, he takes a massive bump in usage rate. It didn't truly pay off in the last game, but if you watch the game, he was so involved. Like I said, playing point guard a lot of times, initiating offense. He had five assists. He just missed all his shots and didn't play that well, but he was playing hard. He had 21 Fanduel points. I think he could get you 30, 35 if Dragic is out. It's funny. I mean, you got Winslow and MKG, who are basically clones of themselves. Both guys would have very limited offensive games. It's just the problem with the difference is Miami trusts Winslow to do a lot more because Miami's so banged up. And Charlotte has guys like Batum and Kemba who basically run the show there, whereas Winslow does not have those guys. So that's why I prefer Winslow to MKG. James Johnson, dude, he plays the hardest out of anyone from Miami. Like, you watch Miami play, and man, he, like, jumps off the screen. Like, honestly, I would not be surprised if I think Spoelstra said after the game last time that he should have started James Johnson instead of – I forgot who the heck he trotted out there last game, because Josh McRoberts is out for a stress fracture. I think he started Derek Williams, and he should start James Johnson. If James Johnson starts, even if he doesn't start, I'm going to be playing him. If he starts, I think he's an excellent play. I mean, he shoots the ball a ton. He fills up the stat sheet. Will probably be overlooked because I don't know if a lot of people have been paying attention, but I think James Johnson's a really good play. And you could do the Judges special again and roll out a Winslow James Johnson lineup on FanDuel to differentiate your lineups. Then other than that, I mean, under 5K, you got lots of nice guys. You got MKG. I think he's in a decent spot again. 4.7K. He's been playing better lately. 28 FanDuel points on Wednesday against Orlando. 30, then before that, 31, 36. So I mean, all of the other Hornets are picking up the slack for Kemba. He's been good. Joe Ingles, another really good spot because Rodney Hood is so terrible. Joe Ingles has been the main beneficiary of that. I mean, like, he's getting 24 plus minutes a night, 20, 28, 24, 24 the last four or five games. And that's five, six times value. PJ Tucker, if you want, you can do it. What did Tucker do on Wednesday? Yeah, the minutes are trending down on Tucker, so I might not go there. All right, that's it. For a small forward, power forward, Kevin Love, 8.3K. I feel like I didn't mention Kyrie Irving. Did I not mention him? You know what? I think I skipped over him because it says on that he's a game time decision dealing with an illness. Although I think he's probable. So Kyrie's fine. There you go. I mentioned Kyrie. So all the Cleveland guys, if you want to roll out LeBron, if you want to just put lock and load in your cash games, Kyrie, as long as he's playing, LeBron and Kevin Love, no issue with it. Power forward is not great on Thursday, and Love is as safe as you're going to get. Getting some Amir Johnson defense. Boston struggles to defend bigs. Kevin Love, last three games, he hasn't gotten a ton of minutes. He's still giving you 36, 34, and 33 in like 25 minutes or so, mostly because of blowouts. And if he does get a full allotment of minutes, which he should in this game, he can give you a 50 FanDuel point night. They go to him a lot early in the first and third quarters before LeBron and Kyrie kind of take over late in the half in game. But he's just a nice, safe cash game play for Thursday. And you can use him in tournaments too. Julius Randle, 6.6K. I was really impressed with how well he played against Utah. I mean, he attacked the hell out of Gobert, maybe better than I've seen anyone do it all year, and had 44 FanDuel points in only 31 minutes. And he had 37 FanDuel points game before that against the Clippers. So here he gets another nice matchup. I mean, Dallas has no one to really defend him. It does annoy me that his minutes aren't great, but he's in a good spot. Power forward sucks. So if you want to roll out Love and Randle as your two cash game power forwards, I can't complain with it. Zach Randolph. So I mentioned that his usage rate's pretty, I mean, you know, for I think it's like 29% or something like that. For a bench guy, it's really good. He's coming off three really solid nights, 30, 28, 28. If Conley's out, I really love the Zebo play. If Conley's in, I don't love it as much. But he's also going to be matched up a lot against Enes Kanter. So Randolph's in an elite spot. You could actually play a Randolph and Kanter if you wanted in tournaments, differentiate your lineup. You could actually do it in cash games. You just got to then hope the opportunity cost that Love or Randle don't, especially Love, doesn't explode for like a 50 FanDuel point night. But Randolph and Kanter are both in interesting spots. Especially Zach Randolph, though, if Conley is out, then I really do like that play. Ilyasova, we got to figure out if he's starting or not. If Embiid is indeed out and Ilyasova's starting, it sucks that it's against Utah. But if you're telling me if he's going to get 35 plus minutes like he was doing, you know, a few weeks ago and giving us 50 FanDuel point nights, he's going to be in play for tournaments for sure. Because it's a small slate, I don't love attacking Utah. But Randle did it, and why not Ersan? I mean, Ersan can take favors and Gobert out on the perimeter. And 5.5K, it's a fair price. So if he's starting, I don't mind that. Kanter, 5.4K. So not the best matchup here against banging with these with the Memphis Bullies. You know, he's so offensively skilled down low. He's just been abusing guys the last four games, 30, 30, 29, and 33 Fando points. Now, that was against Miami, Minnesota, Boston, New Orleans, all teams you can attack at that power forward position. Memphis is not nearly the same cup of tea, but I still think he's fine. More of a tournament guy for me based on the matchup only. So, you know, I'm not going to use him in cash, but tournaments, you can still do it. The minutes have been up because he's been playing so well. And Coach Donovan realizes that Westbrook needs some scoring help. And the other cool thing is Westbrook actually goes to Cantor when Cantor's on the floor. And Cantor plays every minute that Westbrook's off the court, they do this by design, and Cantor gets the ball almost every time down the court. So the usage is really nice, especially when Westbrook's not on the court for those 8 minutes or whatever it is. Jamichael Green, so Zebo's been playing so well that Jamichael Green's minutes have come down, the production's been down. He's struggling to hit the 20 Vando point barrier, so the price has come way down to 4.8K. It's a sneaky under the radar tournament play. Not a ton of upside, but in theory he's still starting, and if he could get some Cantor defense too at some point. Nerlens Noel, maybe he gets the start. I'm very intrigued to see who Coach Brown decides to start. If all of a sudden Noel starts, man, he'd be a nice sneaky ninja under the radar tournament play. He never gets any minutes these days. But he should, because he's better than Okafor. And he deserves to be getting big minutes for them. And so it's against Utah, which sucks, but he's dirt cheap. So if he starts, I'll play him. Otherwise, you can't. Favors, you know, he's 4.6K. I think he started for the first time. He got 22 minutes against the Lakers, only gave us 18 Fando points. If he starts against Philly, maybe he gets 20, maybe he gets 24, 26 minutes. At that price against Philly, why can't he give me 25 Fando points? It's basically the same as like getting the same minutes as Zach Randolph, except he's like $1,200 cheaper. So on a small slate, I'll use him in a tournament or two. Other than that, you got Dwight Powell, Amir Johnson, Dario Saric, Patrick Patterson. You got guys like that you can go to if you want. Center. Whiteside, 8.9K. So I the price has come down a little bit, which is good. I have not been playing him very much, especially without Dragic. I mean, they don't get him the ball that much. That's why his usage rate is so bad. I mean, it's bad even with Dragic. But Charlotte, Cody Zeller, or Hibbert, whoever the hell they have in there, Whiteside should be able to get all the boards he wants and feast if they can just pass him the ball. So I don't think I can play him in cash games. But tournaments, absolutely. I think he's in a really, really good spot here on Thursday. Marc Gasol, I don't like testing Steven Adams. So that part worries me. But Marc Gasol is a little – he's not a typical center, man. He'll take you out on the perimeter, especially if Conley is out. He runs the offense, 9 assists last game. So if Conley's out, he's safe for all formats for me. If Conley's in, then he's still fine. I just don't love it as nearly as much. So for this slate, I hope Conley's out. Definitely need some value to open up here. Al Horford, 7.7K. Very fair price. Floor is 20, ceiling is 50. So not a cash game guy for me, but tournaments, you can play him, and he could be in the winning GPP lineup. And Tristan Thompson's he's okay defensively. He's undersized, man, and Horford is a guy who's pretty skilled offensively. Rudy Gobert, man, did he let me down against the Lakers. 27 Fando points against the Lakers, which is pathetic. That's disappointing. But the price is fair. No Embiid to deal with, so he should be able to get 15 rebounds and an easy double-double against Philly. And against if Okafor is starting, man, he should block about 10 Okafor shots. Okafor gets blocked more than any other player in the NBA. So Gobert is pretty much safe for all formats. I do worry that the upside is not tremendous. But on a small slate like this, I don't love center. So Gobert's fine on Thursday. Valanciunas. My boy Valanciunas. So against Golden State, said he wasn't a good matchup, and he was not. He only got 15 Fando points, only 21 minutes. But Phoenix, a better matchup. They got Alex Len, and they got Tyson Chandler. So I look for my boy Jonas to get closer to 30 minutes. Now, Dwayne Casey wouldn't dare give him 30 minutes because that would make Toronto ease the burden off of Lowry and DeMar. Why do that? So it's hard to play him in cash, but sneaky under-the-radar tournament play. He's going to be under 10% owned, even on a small slate. The judge will be playing him. Steven Adams, I don't like anyone against Marc Gasol, man. Give up the fewest fandom points to opposing centers. He's been really good, right around that 20 to 30 fandom point mark every night. You can probably still do it, and they'll probably still find a way for 20. But, I'm not a big fan of it on Thursday. Cody Zeller, I mean, every day I get lots of questions on Zeller. You guys all want to play Zeller. You guys just crave at the chance to play Zeller. And I get it. Like he's been good. 20, 31, 32, 23, 31, 25, 23, 20, 30 Fanduel points. I mean, who might argue with that? I just always like better options. And most of the times when I say no, I'm thinking opportunity cost. This is some, you know, I've had this conversation with some of you when I do the consultations. It's like the term quote unquote value at the end of the day doesn't mean much, right? If you play a guy who's like minimum salary and he quote unquote hits value, but meanwhile, eight other centers also hit value or exceed value and go off because centers, has a really good position that day. Like that doesn't do you a lot of good. So that's kind of why. I mean, normally I don't play Zeller. There's other guys. I just prefer better on that particular slate. But that said, you can attack Whiteside center. This is a day where center is not. I'm not a fan of it. Now, his price rising, that annoys me a little bit. He's up to 5.2K. But, you know, this will be the first day if you ask me Zeller. I mean, I'm not going to be opposed to playing him. I mean, Whiteside's really lazy defensively. He takes too many chances and gambles to try to block shots on the weak side defensively. So, I mean, Cody Zeller, you know, even in 24, 26 minutes, he should be able to get you 25 or so Fanduel points. I prefer him to Steven Adams because I don't want to touch Gasol. And I let the slate dictate who, you know, what's a good play or not. So Cody Zeller is fine for Thursday, as painful as it is for me to say that. Tristan Thompson, if you want, you can do it. I probably prefer Zeller to him, but he's okay. Tyson Chandler, I don't want to do that. Okafor, I mean, if Okafor is starting, there's no Embiid. I mean, it's only been 20 minutes the last two games. You know, he's up against Gobert, so I don't love this matchup. But maybe if I'm doing 10 lineups, maybe one tournament. And that's what it is. Yeah, center is not that great. I mean, maybe we all just have a Cody Zeller night and he goes berserk for us. Or maybe we just have Whiteside and Whiteside smashes Cody Zeller. How about that? That'd be better. All right, there it is. So lots of interesting stuff going on this slate. The fun little six-game slate. For six games, I think this is a good test for us to see where we are. All right, hope you had a glorious Wednesday. Hope you made a lot of money. If you want to get in chambers, you know, you can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website dgcoreroomdfs.com and you email me there if you don't have a Twitter account. I know some of you don't have Twitter. Also, please download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD. And subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. All right, we did it. It's almost 5 in the morning. Dear God, I got to get some sleep. With that said, for me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.